assembly, it didn't matter. The format of the meetings were the same. Everything looked exactly the same. And it has taken many years for the brethren to sort of figure out who they are. And to this day, they really haven't figured out who they are. There are some key people in Poland who are well-known, some of them international speakers. They're well-known in many other parts of the world besides the United States, who are getting older and who are very concerned with the state of the assemblies in Poland. And so one brother is going to restart the Emmaus Bible Correspondence courses up in Poland, and I'm glad about that. I tried to get that started in Poland and had too much difficulty. So another brother is taking it on beginning in 2019, and hopefully that's going to help. The Bible programs are also meant as a key component in trying to help bring back the principles that we find in the Word of God that underline what an assembly ought to look like. And so these Bible programs are starting to sprout up in different areas. The problem is we don't have teachers. That's a major problem. And so I'm expected to do all the teaching, and I cannot, especially if I'm living here in the United States and taking trips over. I just cannot do it all. And so there are some people who are starting to come on board to help with the teaching, but there's a great need for people who can be trusted to teach at the Bible program. Now there's Portugal. In 2015, I was invited to a conference in Portugal to speak on what is a healthy assembly. I was one of six or seven speakers. It was a 14-hour conference, really long conference. And out of that conference, I met a man named Pedro Balboza. This man is trained with Word of Life International. He was planting a denominational church in Lisbon. But he had left that church and came to the conference and afterwards recognized that the way a church ought to be is the way that was taught at this conference. So I've been going back and forth to Lisbon to help him as he plants a church, an assembly, based upon assembly principles and sort of help him in his journey in doing that. And there are some others too. Peter and Nelly Sequeira are missionaries in Portugal. I spend time with them. Peter just married Nelly about a year ago or less. I guess it's a year ago. They just had a baby. So their lives have been, you know, completely changed. Nelly is still learning the language. She was a missionary in Japan, but now she's in Portugal. And they're hoping to plant an assembly where they live. And then there are some other key people who are on the screen there who I've been spending some time with when I'm over in Portugal. But in 2018, I started actually December of 2017. 1 year ago, this week probably, or next week, we had our first Bible program in Lisbon. And it's been going on since then, monthly, in Lisbon, and it has been a very big help to that small assembly and starting to grow. So there's Bible programs being done in Portugal as well as in Poland. The question is, what is a Bible program? And so if I were to explain it, a Bible program is a program to see unbelievers come to faith in Jesus Christ. It is the goal is to produce mature and fruitful believers who have a deep love for Christ and the Word of God, and also to produce healthy biblical assemblies that are Christ-centered, Bible-centered, and also pilgrim in character. So those are the goals of the program. The program runs usually on a Saturday. Usually it's 6 hours of teaching. In Krakow, we've had a program on Friday night and 6 hours of teaching on Saturday. And for the last 11 years, it has been averaging 50 people, mostly young people, who come and listen to the Word of God. At the end of the program, we have a time for question and answers. People can ask any question they want. Doesn't have to be related to the topic of that day. And usually we have a very vibrant time of questions and answers. Sometimes I don't have the answers, so I just tell them that, and that's perfectly fine. So that's what a Bible program does. In some cities, it's only 3 or 4 hours long. As I said, in the newest one we started this month, it's only 2.5 hours long. But that probably is going to change as time goes on. The areas of teaching are broken down into three areas. There's the basics of Christianity, what every individual needs to know about Christianity, about salvation, about sanctification. So it's the basics of the Christian life. Then there is the topic of the church. What is a healthy assembly? Why is it important? And problems between generations when you have an assembly, but the young people are different, and how to deal with that situation. What's a healthy assembly supposed to look like, and what principles underline a healthy assembly? Very often, I say that principles never change. No one has the right to change the principles of the Word of God. But everything else does change. Everything else changes. The way you put those principles into practice will change from generation to generation. Structures change. Formats change. Many things change. But the principles, they do not change, or at least we have no right to change those principles. And then there's the third section. This is the Word of God. This is overviews of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, systems of interpretation, dispensationalism, things like that would cover the third section. Now, there are 66 books of the Bible, and so that could potentially be 66 Bible programs. That's a lot, right? And if you think about the basics of Christianity, the things that can be covered there could take many Bible programs. And the issues of what is a healthy church, that also can take many Bible programs. So the Bible program is actually designed to cover everything a believer needs to know and everything that an assembly ought to teach in every generation. And so it takes about 15, I estimate, about 12 to 15 years to go through all the material, and that's if you have a six-hour program 7 times a year. So there's a lot of material. And we modify it to the different situations in different cities. As I said, some programs are shorter. The things that I taught today, this morning, that I didn't actually go through the entire PowerPoint. That would have covered probably 3 hours of teaching if I went through it slowly and covered it in more detail. So it's possible to take teaching and condense it down to the time frame that you have, and in some places that's what we need to do. But in every program, there's a time for questions. People can ask their questions, and if we have the answers, we provide them. If we don't have the answers, we simply say, that's a very good question, and I don't have an answer to that. We are all growing. We are all learning. When those things happen, we try to research and do the best that we can to come up with an answer that we can give to them later. So that's the basics of the Bible program. If you wanted me to go into details about it, I'm prepared to do that today. But that's the basic overall of what the Bible program is. Beginning this year, 2018, I have experimented with going over to Europe 5 times instead of 3 times. That's not a very easy thing to do when you have a family of 6 and needs in that family. But the schedule ran something like this. This is also 2019's planned schedule. 5 journeys over to Europe. Sometimes the trips to Poland and Portugal are combined. Sometimes I will go to Portugal just for an extended weekend. Now, you notice on this chart there, it says Portugal in December. And in actuality, next weekend, I was scheduled to be in Portugal for a Bible program. But something very interesting happened this year. At the beginning of the year, when I was in Poland, I met a man from the Gospel Halls in Scotland. He was there in Krakow. I'm not exactly sure what he was doing in Krakow. He claimed to be a tourist, but he went there with an elder from his assembly. And so that doesn't seem to be a touristy thing to me. The man is a young man, but he travels and preaches in gospel halls throughout the world, even at his young age. And I pitched to him the idea of the need for Bible teachers in Poland and in Portugal, and that it would be great if the assemblies in Scotland and in the UK could sort of understand that they are in a unique position to fly in for a weekend and teach at these programs, because flying from the UK is extremely cheap. And at least right now, I don't know what will happen after Britain leaves the Union, but right now it's extremely cheap. And this man took it back to the assemblies in Scotland, and we've been going back and forth all year long. He has been careful because of the circles that he's in, but to make a long story short, the brothers in Scotland have embraced this idea of him coming, and next weekend, for the first time, he will go to Lisbon to teach in the Bible program. So he'll be teaching all day next Saturday, and that means I don't need to go. This is great development. Meanwhile, just a few months ago, I got an email from another brother who had a similar story as us. He went on the mission field. He's also from the Gospel Halls. He went on the mission field, and he had a child that was cerebral palsy. And as a result, they came back to Scotland, and he's been working for the Lord and doing other things in Scotland for many years. But he also is a gifted Bible teacher, and apparently someone pitched or encouraged him to go to a conference that happens yearly in Poland next May. That conference is a European leadership conference, and it is a very, very good conference that takes evangelical leaders from around the world, and they bring them to Poland, and they have seminars and things like that. You can find it on the internet. I've never been to it myself, but I know many people who have. It's in Poland, and so I guess why haven't I been to it? Just haven't been able to. Anyway, he's going to be going to that, and he contacted me and said that he is open to also teach at the Bible programs in Poland in the future. So hopefully, in the will of the Lord, the plan is for him and I to meet up in Poland next May, and he's even willing to come earlier by himself and teach the Word of God. The point I'm trying to make about this is I am really thrilled to see how the Lord is starting to bring together a few teachers from that part of the world who have a burden, who can be trusted to teach the Word of God in these programs. The potential for these Bible programs is big. There's a lot of interest in other areas, including here in the United States. Right now the focus is on Portugal and Poland. So in the will of the Lord, I'll be traveling next year at these particular times, mainly to develop these Bible programs. Now I'm going to stop here for a moment because I really don't have any other slides. I do have information about what a Bible program is, but before I talk any further, are there any comments or questions that anyone has on what I'm doing? Yes?
You mentioned a lot about these conferences as a way of teaching. Is there any other format that's available? Like, are these possibly recorded? So somebody that's interested could maybe do compressed learning? Like, 14 hours every day?
Well, first of all, the Bible program is recorded and is on the internet. Not all of them, but some of them. The one in Portugal is actually live streamed over the internet and reaches believers in Brazil. This is something that is strange to me. I'm from a different generation. I don't actually like it, but I accept the fact that this is what happens today. And I know that there are believers in Brazil who are watching the program and then have opportunity to watch it even after it's live because it stays on the internet. So what you're talking about, though, has been brought up by several people, and maybe there'll be a time for that, but I can't do it. I can't do it right now. There's too much that's being done. Right here on the screen here is the document on the Bible program. You can see the listing here, and in each of the points that are on the Bible program, let's say, for example, the basics of Christianity, the doctrine of Christ, each of these points needs to have an article that is simple to be able to supplement the teaching. So I'm in the process of beginning to write articles on each of these topics. That is probably the rest of my life. I'll be busy doing that. So there probably will be a time for that type of ministry on the internet, but right now I'm not able to swing it. Yes?
You must know there's lots of gifted writers that are in the assemblies that would be, I'm sure, happy to help out writing some of these things.
Yes, I'm not against that. When we first started the Bible program, plan that I had was to use the Emmaus Correspondent courses. When I looked at them, I quickly thought that this was not going to work in the way that it needs to be done. Then I went to the discipleship program that Bill McCarthy has done and Bill McDonald has done in previous years. Bill McCarthy still does it. That program is on the internet. At least the booklets are now on the internet. That material is excellent material. And so I thought, why reproduce what's already been done? Well, the answer to that question is because the material was written for a 20th century audience, not for a 21st century audience. And as I started putting it together, using this as the material so I don't have to reproduce it, it was clear to me that this was not going to work. And I've had brothers from the assembly where that material comes out of that has actually confirmed that with me. So I think there's those materials plus others are good supplementary material that needs to be collected so that people can find it, especially people from European countries where English is not their first language. But it also needs to be presented in a way that is going to make sense for a 21st century audience. I think what I just said might be difficult for many people to understand because it was difficult for me to understand, but I understand it a lot better now. Like I said, the principles never change, but everything else does change, and we need to be able to learn how to practice New Testament principles in the 21st century, especially when it involves different cultures as well. Yes? I'm sorry? Yeah, this is the document because I'm speaking to an English audience, right? The document has been translated into Polish, and it has also been it has not been translated into Portuguese. A lot of the Portuguese people know English, but so do a lot of Polish people now too. But as I said, it's in the early stages of things. We need to get it translated into Portuguese. And, you know, I'm focused at the moment on those three languages. Yeah. That's a good question. Yes, when I speak through a translator 99% of the time. That means that, for example, when I did the program in Warsaw just a few months ago, it was done through translation. But when the question time came, it was also done through translation, but many times I forgot the translator and I answered the questions without the translator, mostly because of the emotions of the question that was involved. All right, what I find is that it's a better thing to be doing it through translation, because Polish people are very, it's hard to, if you don't have it perfect, and I have missionary friends who are fluent in Polish, and they still get heavily criticized, and the Polish people say they prefer the instruction in English. Now, I'm not exactly sure the reason for that, but I'm going to guess right now. Many Polish people are learning English, and they want to practice. They want to hear it in English, and they want to hear the translation and try to figure it out. So it works beautifully. And I have learned to speak well through translation. I cut out all the colloquialisms and things like that, and that has actually helped my preaching even here in the United States. Okay, but that's a very good question. When there's a need for translation, it's done through translation. Any other comments or questions? Well, I just brought you up to speed on what I do, right? I mean, there are stories I suppose I could tell, but there's always stories, and I just wanted to give you an update on basically what I'm involved in doing, and it's mainly this Bible program, right? And I saw your hand in a moment. Just want to go down again the basics of Christianity. We'll cover Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit, all right, and salvation, sanctification, these things in green here, and it covers the coming of the Lord. And then you have the church. In the church, you have universal characteristics of the church, local characteristics, mainly centered on Acts 2:42. Incidentally, in Portugal, this is a problem. The problem in Portugal is there are assemblies that are ultra-dispensational. They do not believe that Acts 2:42 is meant for the church in our dispensation. Although they will agree with all the four points that are here, they just don't think that Acts 2:42 applies to our dispensation. It gets really complicated, these things. And so how to teach it in a way that's going to not be divisive, but also to teach the principles of what a healthy assembly is one of the challenges in Portugal. I am in touch with one of the lead ultra-dispensationalists. His name is Carlos, and he was featured in one of the slides. And Carlos is a very gifted teacher. Evangelist, he's planted a very dynamic assembly. I preached in that assembly. We have very good contact, but you know the assemblies are divided over this topic of ultra dispensationalism. We believe the Lord brought us together, as well as Peter Sequeira, the missionary, for a reason, and perhaps that reason is to bring healing to that rift that happened in Portugal. So there's the marks of a healthy assembly, which carries with it prayer, the headship of Christ, priesthood of all believers, the role of a female priest as well as the role of a male priest, the gifts of the Spirit, plurality of elders and deacons, and then problems between generations and how to deal with those things. And then you have the overview of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and at the end, systems of interpretation, mostly teaching dispensationalism and other things that are happening in our generation today, teachings that are around the world, some that are false teaching that need to be pointed out. Okay, there was a question in the back. Well, you know, I have a son, Elliot, right here, who just put the material on our website 2 days ago.
Okay.
So if you go to our website, which is believershome.com, you'll have a link there for the Bible program. And this material that is right here is located on the internet there. There will also be a link for the Polish version, and hopefully, in the will of the Lord, a link to the Portuguese version once that comes out. Peter Sequeira, who's the missionary, he often will translate me. And then Pedro Balbosa, the man in Lisbon, I stay with him. He also translates. So, yes, I work with them. They're the ones that need to translate the document if it hasn't been translated already. So, yes. Okay. Now, the goal on the internet eventually is to get a link to all the different points that are here so that you can not only read the document but be able to click on a link and either link to an article of a brother who has already ready-made material on the subject or an article that I expect to write as I go along. Yeah. Other comments or questions? Yes? That's in Portugal, not in Poland. Well, many years ago, there were missionaries in assembly missionaries who dabbled in ultra dispensationalism. They didn't teach it; they just dabbled in it, and they died. And not because they dabbled in it; they just got old and they died. But they left their libraries in Portugal. And the next generation of people who really enjoyed their ministry, they took the books and read them and embraced ultra-dispensationalism. There was a meeting about 30 years ago. It was an ugly meeting. The assemblies divided over the topic. They have been separated ever since. Right now, like can be true here in the United States, some assemblies are going in various directions. All right? The evangelical church around the world, but especially in the West, is having difficulties now. And this is not just the assemblies, but this is across the board in many churches. And so in assembly circles, what do you do in response? And some assemblies go in this direction, which would be, let's call it a traditional or legalistic direction. And then these assemblies over here will go into a more open direction, meaning that they will abandon many of the principles of the Word of God. And then there are other assemblies that sort of stay the same, but they really don't know what to do. And so there seems to be these three separate branches. Well, in Portugal, there are assemblies that have embraced the seeker-sensitive movement, and they've gone way off into a direction that is far away from assembly principles. And then there are other assemblies that are dying because they don't know how to reach out to the new generation, and they keep things the way that it always has been. This is the same situation in Poland where the older men and women do not know how to reach out to the younger generation. In Poland, it's a bit understandable because they came from a communistic culture, and they basically the gulf between the two generations is wider than you could ever imagine. So in Portugal, there's a difficulty, but the ultra dispensational assemblies have remained strong and are growing. And mainly it's due to the charisma of the leaders that are there in this generation. Okay, yes?
Is it ultra-dispensationalism in that sense the same as a
hyper-dispensationalist? Yeah, I guess I would, yes. It's a complicated question. There's actually three different types of ultras, but basically they believe that the church started when Paul, the mystery was revealed to Paul. And so everything up to that point was a Jewish dispensation of the church, and after that time is the dispensation that we live in. So some ultra churches will not baptize because they don't believe baptism is for our dispensation. Some will not break bread, many will. So there depends on which of the branch of ultras you're in. Okay? Any other comments or questions? Well, if there's not, then I'll just summarize. That is a question going.
So I know Poland is a big Catholic. We call it Catholic. But it's also good that missionary activities are not being fruitful in Poland.
I'm sorry?
Missionary activities, like, you know, teaching the gospel is not being fruitful.
So I find that there are many, many interested people, young people, interested in salvation and the Word of God, not just in Poland, in Portugal, and I also find them here in the United States. I find them everywhere. I think the problem we have is that we are fishing in areas of the pond where the fish used to populate. And we used to have great success. But they're not there anymore. They've moved to other areas of the pond. And we, in our models and in our ways of doing things, have a difficult time saying, let's move the boat to a different place in the pond, because we've gotten used to the places where we've been fishing. So in Poland, it is a Catholic nation, and therefore it's easy to talk about Jesus Christ. And there is a lot of interest. I find wherever I go, the greatest lesson that I've learned is the power of the Word of God. And when you bring someone into interaction with the Word of God, the Spirit of God moves in that person's heart. So when, you know, in many churches today, in many religions, the Word of God is left out or kept to a minimum, or teachers don't know how to teach it, or it's presented in a way that doesn't resonate with young people, or any combination of things. There's been scandals, not just in big churches or denominations, but even in our group of movement too, never talked about, but the scandals are there. And so people get tired of the systems or the organizations, but they don't get tired of spirituality. And so there is an interest. The question is how to present the Word of God. The Bible programs for us, well, it has been working. It has been working very, very well. Now, does that mean it will work 20 years from now or 10 years from now? Maybe, maybe not. But all a Bible program is teaching the Word of God, finding a format to teach it in that's going to resonate with the people in this generation. And as I mentioned, I emphasize every Bible program must have a question and answer period. In Polish culture, people will not ask questions. But once they get used to it, the questions flow, and I've had 2 hours of questions at some of these Bible programs. So it's a matter of being open, telling people that when I don't have an answer, not trying to pretend I have an answer, being real with people, listening to their questions. I find that there actually is a lot of interest among the young people today in the Word of God. And I think even in the city of Worcester, I know there are many people in this city who are interested in the Word of God. The question is how to reach them. One of the things that I often say is if something like what happened in Newtown, Connecticut happened in Worcester, would this assembly have a voice in the community? If the answer to that is no, then there's an issue. All right? This assembly ought to be, as every assembly ought to be, a light in the community in such a way that when there's a crisis in the community, people don't know where to go to get answers. But they'll trust the people that are here, for example. So trying to find ways to build bridges into the community, I know the sun's in your eyes, trying to find ways to build bridges into the community helps bring down the barrier that presents the gospel from penetrating and getting into the lives of people, right? And so that's one of the things that I often say. Any other comments or questions? Well, there's a question. I guess I could stop saying well. Maybe I'll try something else. What?
I do have a question.
Go ahead. Okay, well, that's a very complicated question, and I'm not sure I can answer the question. I'll only say that the ultras in Portugal do not believe in the gifts of tongues and healing. They would say that they're temporary gifts today. But your question seems to be pretty loaded. And in regards to ultra-dispensationalism, I am still learning a lot. Right, I was bombarded with questions at the first conference, and no one had ever told us, the speakers, that there was an issue. And the questions were, you know, why don't we believe the Apostle Paul and things like that. We had no idea why the questions were being asked. So there's a lot that I still need to learn. There's a lot that I have learned, but I don't know any relation between the gifts of the Spirit and ultra-dispensationalism at this point. Okay? So if you'd like to talk further about that, maybe afterwards, that seems to be a very specific question. Any other questions? Okay. I hope that this presentation brought you up to speed as to how we are doing the work in Poland. My wife hasn't been over to Poland in many years. She's been there once since we've come home. There's a great need to bring her back to Poland. She's been asked to come back to do some teaching, and also it's important that she gets back. That's one of the things that I'd like to see. The problem is it's very difficult with six children, and so we're just waiting on the Lord's time as to when that ought to take place. Portugal, they're also asking my wife to come. They've not met my wife ever. I'd like to see her come just because I don't like traveling by myself. And I would prefer that she's with me. She's feeling embarrassed. Are you feeling embarrassed? No, their eyes roll. All right. But so we appreciate prayer as we move forward with these travels, with the teaching, a need for teachers in both Portugal and in Poland, and the development of the Bible programs. That would be where prayers ought to be concentrated on. Any final questions? This is your last chance. Going once, twice, three times. Not sold, but let's pray. Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're thankful, Lord, that you are still actively involved in saving souls in our world today, not just in Portugal and in Poland, but here in Worcester as well. We're thankful for the light that this assembly has been in the past and is today. We pray, Lord, that you would meet the needs that are here, that gifts that are among the people of God here would be developed, and that this assembly would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and have a vibrant testimony in the community. We pray, Lord, that you would do whatever you need to do to purify your people that are here, and to help them to be more Christ-like. We pray that you would keep us safe now as we travel home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your time.